Your 24-hour sports entertainment radio station, Vision View Sports Radio.
Here's where we're at. Hugo Broos has announced his trimmed-down 23-man final squad for the Bafana Bafana's opening two 2022 World Cup qualifiers. We have that conversation to have and some DSTV Premiership results from yesterday and, of course, that issue pertaining to Royal AM on the phone line to help have those conversations. I want to say resident here on the show, but all-around football good guy and journalist is Pro Pilani. Pro, what's up? How are you doing?
Hey, good, thanks, Patsy. How are you doing?
Can't complain, brother. Thank you so much for joining me on the phone line this morning. So, yeah, those are the three things, yeah? The three issues that we have to discuss today. And they say how you eat an elephant is one spoon at a time. So maybe we start with the under 20, or not the under 23, the trimmed down 23-man squad that Hugo Broos has put forward for the qualifiers. First question, Pilani, why announce a 31-man squad only to 4 days, how many days later? However many days later, announce a trimmed down 23-man squad. I mean, it makes sense if there was, you know, a training camp at least or a game in between that, but nothing, just 31 trimmed to 23.
Another thing that we need to look at is that you also select players who have not kicked the ball this season. So it puts you under unnecessary scrutiny and criticism at the same time. But I understand where he's coming from. I think the player that were involved in the COSAFA Cup, I think he believes that they deserve a second chance in the national team. And also the players who were doing well and at the Olympics, he believes that they deserve a chance. And we've been hearing him complaining about teams with excessive amount of players. I think that is an interesting conversation that he is actually thrown to us as football lovers and football fans. And look, I don't want to complain much because I know that he also had trouble with other players like Thabo Chele, who couldn't honor the invitation purely because he doesn't have a club at the moment and he's still trying to find himself a club. Players like Bongani Zungu, who are also struggling to go back to France and find another team. I remember Amiens rejected an offer from Espanyol. So these are the challenges that he's facing behind the scenes. But obviously, he's not a person that is going to come forward and say, these are the challenges that I'm facing. I think it's a fair national team. It's a fair squad. I think some of the collapsed players deserve to be there. And it's going to be interesting to watch the qualifiers.
You're absolutely correct. In your mind, fair squad, but any surprise omissions there? I'm thinking more so about Jabulani Ngobo there, who misses out on that squad.
You know, if you look at the defenders, if you pick up Unjabulani Ngobo as a centre-back, who do you drop out? Because Sander Kulu is there. Thabang Peta is there. Thabani Dube is there. Rashid Diruk is there. So you ask yourself, okay, if you pick Unjabulani Ngobo, who are you dropping out of those four players? So none of us would have a proper answer. And I understand the challenges that the coach is facing. And I think it's going to be a challenge going forward. And I think it's going to put pressure on a lot of teams to either they play these younger players or they release them to go and play elsewhere. Because this thing of sitting with Unjabulani Ngobo on the bench and not play him, but you know very well that he's a national team asset. It's going to put pressure on Coach Stuart Baxter as well. So, for me, I'll agree with you and say Unjabulani was a surprise omission, but also I understand where the coach is coming from.
Just maybe last thoughts on this selection of this side. He's definitely gone with young players in that side, fresh faces in that side. And this is something that I know South Africans have been begging for, right, is to see a much renewed Bafana Bafana squad. But this can also be the same hill that he dies on, you know. You play against sides like Zimbabwe, Ghana, who been there, done that with some senior players in that side. You lose to them, you potentially don't qualify for the World Cup. And I know I'm forecasting the worst possible case scenario. Do you feel like the backlash will be, oh, why did he only go with this squad, with these young players, with this, I want to throw the word, inexperience around. Do you feel like that could ultimately be the backlash? Or do you think there should be some understanding based on the fact that this is the squad that he's trying to build something with going forward?
When Chex Mashaba took over Ibafana Bafana, there was a backlash. I remember he dropped the faves, so to speak. He started picking unknown players. He picked up about Brilliant Kuzwayo, he picked up about Jackson Mabogwane, made Senzo Meiwa the captain. And he qualified unbeaten, 3 wins, 3 draws to the AFCON. And everybody was clapping hands for Sheikh Mashaba to say, wow, for the first time we see a Brave coach who's not picking the popular players and is picking the less popular players, but performing players. And everybody was excited about it. Now that Ichiko Prostel is doing exactly the same thing that Sheikh Mashaba did, and people are beginning to be skeptical. I have so much faith in the coach. I know that he knows what he's doing. I remember he took a very young Cameroon side and he won an AFCON with them. And nobody gave him a chance with that young Cameroon side. And he went on to conquer Africa. Why not? Why can't we let him do what he thinks is best for the nation? And let's take it from there. Let him fail to qualify and then attack him. If he qualifies, let's swallow our pride and say, coach, you were right. Your thinking was proper. But I don't want us to start now bashing the coach based on selection. Let us watch the team play. Let us see how they perform. And then let us take it from there. Because I have so much faith in this national team squad.
I wish all football fans were as balanced as you right there, Pilani. But we know so often the time that's not the case. Okay, so let's talk about some of the DStv Premiership clashes from last night. I mean, two games that saw Chippa United up against Mamelodi Sundowns, Marumo Gallants up against Orlando Pirates. And if you were a betting man, you naturally would have on your bet slip said Mamelodi Sundowns by a landslide. And you may even have said Orlando Pirates despite that draw at the opening game of the season. But ultimately, we got nil-nil draws on both sides and ball games in reality from both clashes. It was quite disappointing to see because these are the bigger teams in South African football. Just your thoughts. Let's start with Orlando Pirates, Mamelodi Sundowns and Chippa United. Then you'll talk to us briefly about what you made of Orlando Pirates and Marumo Gallants.
The Mamelodi Sundowns and Chippa United match, I think the draw was expected on my end. I know Gavin Hunt hates losing against Sundowns. I know that he always has a plan for Sundowns. Remember that he's the only coach that managed to beat Sundowns in the league last season. And I was expecting a tough encounter. So many Sundowns players on loan at Chippa United, so I would have expected them to also lift up the game a little bit. And they didn't disappoint. And I'm so happy also to see players who were playing in the CLEAR Africa Championship last season getting a chance at Chippa United and making it count. But my only disappointment last night was seeing in both games, goalkeepers were foreign, leading attackers were foreign. So where are the South African goalkeepers and strikers? So this is a challenge Chika Pros is going to face going forward. We have no goalkeepers and we have no strikers playing enough games in the top league. But going back to the question, I think that Mamelodi Sundowns team is going through a phase of integrating new players, and that is why their game is not fluid and is not pleasing in the eye. And I strongly believe that Sundowns played one of their worst games yesterday. You could see that the coach are trying too hard to integrate the new players and to give everybody as many minutes as they possibly can. And like I said last season, without Temba Zwane, there's no music at Mamelodi Sundowns. And you saw yesterday, there was no music at all. There was no movement. There was no one carrying the ball in midfield. There was no one supporting Upita Shadulile. In the first 20 minutes, balls were pumped up in the air, which is unusual for a Sundowns team. And that made Uwe Luyege Zulu comfortable dealing with Upita Shadulile on aerial balls because he was winning all those balls. Even when the balls were played beside Roscoe Peterson, Roscoe was also there to deal with those aerial balls. So for me, it was a very, very bad game. At halftime, there were no shots on target. Come second half, Chippa United did not even have a single attempt at goal. No shots at goal, no shots on target. For a home team, I think it was disappointing. All in all, it was just a horrible game to watch.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good advertisement for local football. Going back to the Pirates match, I think Orlando Pirates fans are starting to settle in reality. As much as they love their team, the quality of their team is not what they think it is. And we would have expected a Pirates team to actually destroy Marumo Gallants. But those boys, they fought very hard. I mean, if anyone in South Africa does not know Undabai Tetswan Dondlo by now, I think they will never know that kid. I think that kid is a superstar. I think that kid is destined for greatness. I always like to watch him. And also Ethan Brooks from TX Galaxy. You know those kids, they're short. They've got a good power behind the ball, and they know how to find spaces. And when I saw Undlondlo detecting the midfield yesterday, I could see Palace midfielders chasing shadows. I could see how they were frustrated with him playing those short 1-2s. And all in all, South African football was badly represented yesterday. Two goalless draws. I don't think that that's what we want to watch when you go back to the stadiums. I think football is all about goals. When you sit at home from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock watching those two games, I'm sure most people were disappointed. And I feel sorry for people who are betting because they will go for both teams to score number over 1.5, whatever these odds that they always play.
Yeah.
And look at them today, all their sleeps crashed.
Yeah, listen, I think in the case of Sundowns, you get the sense that eventually they'll figure it out, if that even means reverting back to the system that worked and keeping the players that have made them so successful. But for Orlando Pirates, as you said, fans are starting to realize that maybe the squad is not as good as they had thought, which is strange to say because on paper, there's some real good players in the squad. I mean, if you look around the Dion Hotels, the Tulani Tlachwayos, Happy Jell is in that squad, Ofori, Gabatino Mango, who at some point a season or two ago was looking like he could go on and score 20-plus goals in one season. These players on paper are really good players. Where has it not worked for Pirates?
It's so interesting that Tulane Tlachwayo has been off form for two seasons now.
Mm.
And he still doesn't crack it for Orlando Pirates. And it does it. Most of the goals that, most of the crucial goals that they conceded, they were through, they were around Tulane Tlachwayo. You look at the equalizer by Judas over the weekend. Right in front of Tulane Tlachwayo, it went in. I know that sometimes there's an element of unfair criticism on the player, but I've never seen Tulane Tlachwayo playing a solid game for Orlando Pirates, to be honest with you. I'm happy to be corrected and I'm happy to be wrong, but I've never seen him having a solid game for Orlando Pirates. You look at Umango. Mango has always been that temperamental player that always wants to take matters into his own hand, want to impress Orlando Pirates fans, want to score all the goals, want to take all the set pieces, but it hasn't worked for him at Orlando Pirates as well. You look at how hardworking Hoto is. You look at how much he runs for the club or how much he fights for the team. But even his goals are not turning draws into wins. And he's not even getting sufficient goals for Orlando Pirates. You look at a player like Vincent Pule. You know, like you're saying, on paper, Orlando Pirates can beat any team at any given time. But it is not working. It is not clicking at all. I don't know whether it's the quality of the coaching or it's just players refusing to gel. I heard Ulod speaking, Gwenyinda was saying that players are not together. They are not united at Orlando Pirates. So everybody does his own thing. I think that is where it should start. They should start working for the same cause. They should start playing for the same patch, not their names at the back, but for the name in the front. So I think issues at Orlando Pirates from an outsider, they look like there are many. But I know that Coach Mandla knows best. Coach Fatlu Davids knows what is happening. And they will find a solution soon. But I was not happy with their transfer business. I don't think that Orlando Pirates did justice. I still feel that they need to get at least two or three players to actually find the proper balance.
Yeah, we spoke to another journalist, a colleague of yours, you may know him, Nkululeko Dladla, yesterday on the show. It was his belief that Pirates would sign another manager and not stick with Mandla Ngikazi and Coach Fatlu Davids for the season. What can you say about that?
Well, I think most people in the football fraternity know that the conversation between Orlando Pirates and Coach Steve Kombela has not ended. They are still trying to find a solution around his contract situation at Sundowns. And I strongly believe that Orlando Pirates still want to pursue Coach Steve. They may look outside the borders of the country, but I think that their primary target is Coach Steve. So whether Coach Steve will bring new fortunes at the club, I don't know. Whether they will get Coach Steve, I don't know. But for me personally, I think that they should go for their man. They should get Coach Steve out of Sundowns. We really want a competitive Orlando Pirates. If you look at the points gap between them and Sundowns last season, it seems like it's going to be the same story this season if they don't get a proper manager.
So, in conclusion, with Orlando Pirates, this is what, and I'm not sure if you heard these comments, this is what Coach Joseph Zinbao had to say about South African football and his time at Orlando Pirates. He says he believes that South African players are lacking the basic skills. And I'm going to quote directly what he said to Goal.com, is that there are things that you can teach your players as a senior head coach, and there are things that a player should have learned from a young age, which is difficult to teach when he's already old. He said he enjoyed his time at Orlando Pirates, but players there lack development and basic skills, especially the defenders. He said even a 17-year-old European defender can do so much better than some of the 30-year-old PSL defenders. You can teach, shout, but it's impossible to change the weaknesses at that age. South African clubs should learn how to develop players from as young as 8 years old if they want to be successful in the future. Stop hijacking already old, underdeveloped players. Quickly, Philani, before we move on to Royal AM, what are your thoughts on those comments that he's made in keeping with what your assessment of Orlando Pirates and Thulani Hlatshwayo has been?
100%. I 100% agree with him. I agree with him 100%. Remember, with the Orlando Pirates, at one stage they were in control of the league under Coach Mitchell, and they played a 2-2 draw in Cape Town against Cape Town City. What happened? The defense fell to sleep. What happened when Coach Rulani was the coach of Orlando Pirates for 14 games? The issue was defense. They were playing exciting brand of football, going forward, scoring goals, but what was their weakness? Defense. You look at Coach Zimbabwe as well. What is the weakness? Defense. You can't have internationals who can't play from the back. You can't have defenders who can't find a teammate in midfield or up front all the time. You can't have defenders who fall asleep and find themselves the ball being stolen from their feet. So that is the problem that I have with Orlando Pirates defenders. And it's going to continue to be a problem until they sign quality international players at international level, not players from relegation threatened side. Orlando Pirates should not stop shooting themselves in the foot by signing players with lesser quality. They should go for internationals all the time. So I agree with Coach Zimbabwe on that one.
Okay, we'll park that there. Royal AM, and we're hoping for the last time we'll be talking about them and their judicial issues. And going forward, we can just talk about what they're doing on the football field. But the PSL has finally ruled on that matter pertaining to Royal AM and the league. And ultimately, this is what we know has been done. All four matches, which it was obliged to participate in and failed to do, were rewarded 3-0. And the goal difference and the points went to the other sides, which we already know about. Royal AM were fined a maximum in terms of the NSL rules, 1 million per match, which totaled 4 million, with the 700,000 of each. That's 2.8 million being suspended for 2 years on condition that during that period of suspension, it did not fail to honour any of the PSL fixtures. The club was also further sanctioned with a deduction of 3 points for each game not played. That's 12 points in total for the current season. The deduction as also suspended for 1 year on condition that during that period of suspension, it did not fail to honour any PSL, NSL fixtures. And Royal AM, lastly, were ordered to pay all costs of the sittings in all four of the matters. I think the feeling over on social media and around the country is disappointment that this is it. Like, I think when I read this, I was like, that doesn't seem like much considering how egregious what Royal AM did last season, how that moment felt for football in this country. This doesn't seem like much. What are your thoughts on the sanctions that were handed down?
I think the league were lenient. I think the league felt that, okay, this team that saved a PSL status by firing Bloemfontein, okay, let us be lenient. I think that Royal AM should have received the harshest punishment there in the league to set precedent, because another team will do the very same thing in the future. We should stop. Any other issues that bring the league into disrepute. What Royal AM did during the playoff was uncalled for. It's not something that you should condone in South African football, and it's not something that we should ever see in South African football ever again. I think that the league was just lenient, and I'm not entirely happy with the sanctions that was given to Royal AM, to be honest with you.
If this was a wrestling bout, boxing bout, Philani, in conclusion, you would say Royal AM maybe won this fight on decision, unanimous split decision, maybe something of that effect. Not by knockout, certainly, but it seems to me like they're the winners ultimately.
True. They are in the PSL. They did not receive any harsh punishment. They will still do what they want to do. They will continue bringing spice, as they said, that they are bringing spice in the league. But what they did off the field is something that should not be condoned. They should be condemned. All efforts should be directed at them, condemning their behavior. But you know what? Like you say, it's a win for them, a loss for South African football. unfortunately.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time, as usual. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a good day.
Winning with Vision View Sports Radio.